You're listening to the Monthly Money Makeover podcast, where Maya and Mapalo talk to the EBSA advisors and their contestants about their six-month Money Makeover bootcamp. You can also follow the journey with City Press, You Magazine, as well as Facebook at CP Money Makeover. In this, our fifth Money Makeover podcast, we've invited Elton Govender to provide some tips to entrepreneurs on how to get their finances in order. So Elton is a senior enterprise development specialist at EBSA, and he's been working with our contestant Bella, who owns her own construction company. When Bella joined the Money Makeover Challenge, her business was sitting with a significant overdraft, and her personal finances were relying heavily on debt. Elton, you know, when we brought you on, one of the biggest challenges was that Bella's business had a turnover, I think about 1.3 million it was, but she had no idea whether she was making a profit. And I think this seems to me one of the biggest challenges that face entrepreneurs.
When we looked at Bella's story, we did a full analysis on her business just to get an understanding of what is she doing right, what is wrong, and what do we need to change going forward with her business. And we spent a lot of time understanding what a business is all about. Because too often we want to work on what is a goal, but without understanding what is the platform she's working from. So what she was doing right in a business, she outsourced the jobs that was labor intensive and required a lot of capital equipment, which she did not have. So she was able to obviously scale up for bigger contracts. And given that she was a level one BEE supplier, it worked well in her favor. She also had a profile of all the business jobs she did, but it was very basic on what she was working on. And we then started looking at also what was going wrong in her business. Her cash flow in terms of the business was used to cover her personal needs. So there was no segregation of the funds itself, meaning that what she was doing for the business was she reinvesting it into new projects, but she was utilizing those for her personal needs and was just going into one account. She was also looking from a project point of view, when she did the assessment on it, she didn't know whether she was making profits or not on those projects. So she would take on a job, let's say, for instance, paving, and she'd employ 10,000 Rand in terms of the cost. And she wasn't too sure whether she was selling it for 13 or 14 and whether there was a profit margin in between, because there was also things that happened during the project itself. So very much managing the expenses of the business. In this day and age, social media is a major platform when you want to market your business. And she did not have the profile on social media on Facebook. She wasn't using it to her advantage. And then also, she was subcontracting, even though it was a good thing to do, she was also losing margin because it was profits that she could have done by obviously doing it in-house. So we went about our usual analysis on the business, Excel spreadsheet, start working on all the projects, writing down all the different cost elements to the project, where she was buying it. Also included in that was how much of time she was spending on the project, because her time is money, and attributing a cost to that as well. At the end of the day, she was able to then understand where she's making money, where she's losing money. And that just gave her the business acumen to actually start making business decisions on where to focus on. And what we have seen is that she has then started fixing all the issues that needed to be fixed in the business. So she's turning it around very slowly. And now with COVID coming in, and obviously the challenges that is present itself, she's also started to working online. So two elements she's focused on. One is Facebook is marketing her business with her profile online. And she's picked up, just to give you an idea how successful that has been, she's picked up three new jobs. And of the three jobs, there were one-day jobs, meaning that it would take one day to complete. And her profit margins from those 3 days of work was 44,000 Rand.
That's nice money, Elton.
Excellent for 3 days of work. So the platform is working for herself, and that's on Facebook. And now that she's established a business profile, she's now moving on to the second leg where you're looking at digital platforms that are out there which use subcontractors. So now she's becoming the subcontractor. Okay,
so she's gone from paying away her margin to a subcontractor to actually getting more business by becoming a subcontractor. So Elton, has she now employed her own team? She said to me she's got her own team of workers now as well.
Yes, she does. So now she's going to be targeting the likes of these online platforms that are working with the likes of your big, let's say your Builder's Warehouse or Leroy Merlin and so forth, where you can go in as a consumer and says, I need someone to do paving for me. Can you find me a subcontractor in the area? Where they will then be in contact with her, given a profile, and then she can then start obviously getting more business and growing her business. So one of the other fundamental changes of her business is that she was mainly tendering for business to the likes of the universities and so forth. So now with COVID, those businesses have then dried up. She's now generating a new revenue stream from actually going out to the public.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's so interesting, those the various steps. And I hope our listeners will take the time to also just read the articles with, about what Bella's done. So I wanted to separate this out into two sort of main focuses here. The one is obviously what you've done with her in terms of looking for those new business revenue streams, which has been obviously very successful for her, given COVID. That was a very good move. But also what I found interesting when you said up front, she was drawing down from the business for her personal expenses. And when I spoke to her recently, she actually told me, she said, I would get a lump sum in from a job. And again, she didn't know what her profits really were, but she'd get this lump sum in and she'd go shopping. She said, I would go shopping because I'd have all this money. I mean, do you see that as something that's also part of it? Like, do you see that as one of the problems that entrepreneurs have, that they go off and they see a lump sum come in and it's all their money? They don't think of it as the business's money.
I agree with you. I mean, also when it works with, if it's also when you get lump sum money coming in or you see a credit limit, those become targets that I need to spend. But what it is it's just a mindset that Bella needed to go through. So when she saw the money coming in, it was also to create the second leg, which is just an understanding that that money needs to be spent on other projects and it's more of an investment. So Bella went through that process and she came out quite ahead of the pack, because she understands that money coming in doesn't belong to her. It belongs to the business. That money it's her, let's say, very scarce resource that she needs to invest into future projects and future, and obviously projects or items, expenses in the business that will generate more profits for her in the future. So she went through that process and she understands it very clearly.
And so now she actually has a salary. She draws a salary from, that was one of the first things I think you and her advisor Stacey also worked out, that she now actually gets a set salary from the business, which she then uses for her personal life. And she has to learn to live on that budget, not on, you know what I mean, on that salary and not on the business. So she can't just sort of say, oh, well, I feel like going on a shopping spree. Let me quickly put it on the business credit card. Has she been fairly disciplined in doing that?
Yes, she has been fairly disciplined on that. It was also a mind shift change. And second to that, she also realized that if you've got a lot of money in the bank account, and yes, it'll sustain you over the month, but if you don't start working towards getting in the new business, the new contracts, and growing your business, that those funds or that surplus will be depleted. So on an ongoing basis, she's now focusing on getting new business so that it builds out over the next 6 months. Do I have enough projects? Do I have enough business to come in to pay myself a salary as well as grow the business? So her focus is more along the lines of continuity on the business.
So Elton, the other thing that you did with her and you mentioned now was making sure that she understood the actual cost of a project. So things like making sure that her car insurance, she's got a Bucky, making sure the car insurance was priced in, her time was priced in. Do you find often that entrepreneurs also don't always look at how to price the true cost of a project?
That's true, Maya. So what they do is they normally write out, this is my expenses that I need to complete it, but they forget the element of their own cost into the project. So when we started the project with Bella, we didn't go and spend thousands of rands on a very expensive system. We used either what she had, which was an Excel spreadsheet. If you don't have that, a piece of page and a nice little book works pretty well. And all we did was just write out all the line items that are expenses that, goes towards a project. And we also made sure that we put a line item for her salary. I'll come back to how we did the calculation. And we also looked at, for instance, if she had to, what was the revenue that was generated on that project per day, or what were the sales targets for it? And we then looked at, says, right, Bella, how much money do you want to make in a month? And let's say it's 20,000 Rand. Now, there's 20 working days in a month, and you have to make at least 1,000 Rand a day to achieve your target. Now, that's obviously before you take tax and everything else into account. So once it goes into a project, and you know the project takes 3 days, and if you're going to spend 3 days of your time, then the line item for your expenses is 3,000 Rand. So you need to factor those things in. And then you obviously then say, right, am I making a profit on this project? And then you can work from there going forward. Does that make sense to you, Mahesh?
Yes. And I think one of the other things that we picked up quite quickly as well, we were very concerned about, was that, you know, when times got tough, so she was, as we said, she entered this competition with quite a lot of debt. And so when she was struggling to meet those debts, the first thing she did was cancel the insurance on her Bucky. And we freaked out because it's financed, B, she needs it for her work. So if that Bucky was stolen or written off in an accident or something like that, she would A, owe the bank a whole lot of money for her, you know, for the Bucky, and she wouldn't have money to be able to buy another one, and she actually couldn't operate. How important is it also to look at all of those kinds of expenses and making sure that whatever that insurance is a month, I don't know, 800 Rand a month, that that's also allocated to the project. So all of those things you see as part of the expense of the project, as opposed to sort of a luxury or something, I don't know. Now, how does one also put in things like the financing of the Bucky or any capital equipment you may have?
Sure. We got to work out the core business requirements. For instance, you have to pay your rent and you have to cover the insurance, because those are risk elements that you are also obligated when you took out an installment sale to have insurance. And in the event something goes wrong, you're just going to end up having more problems to try and solve and more debt. So I think you need to understand that there's certain expenses you have to cover, and it has to be obviously factored into it. You may also want to then start, when you're finding out that things are tough, you can go shopping around. You know, can you get cheaper insurance? Maybe apples for apples and save you a few rands here. But at the same time, don't just cancel the insurance, because when you have to then go and get new insurance, let's say when things get better, they are going to find out that there was a break where you didn't have insurance. And then your premiums are going to be a lot higher. So that's obviously another assessment that insurance companies do. But the point is, back to the business, you need to make sure that you cover the basics of the business that need to be paid. If you're finding that obviously you do not have enough revenue to come in, then start talking to your creditors to say, can we then put in payment plans? Or because COVID is impacting everyone out there and everyone is fully aware of it. I don't think any creditor out there is going to be not willing to sit down and discuss a plan ahead to assist your business. Because the last thing they want to see is that you go out of business. And if you do go out of business, you won't be able to pay them anything in the future anyway. So discuss with your creditors what you can and what you can't do. But at the same time, just don't stop making those payments that you've agreed to.
Yeah, I think in Bella's case, she was able to negotiate some payment holidays as well. And obviously, you're going to be working with her to make sure she makes those payments back up, because payment holidays are very expensive. We've covered that on this show quite significantly. And Elton, we've spoken about Bella and the kind of mistakes Bella's made, but what do you find typically are the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs tend to make when it comes to their money? They're so busy with the business and the business idea, and that, you know, they make the mistakes on the financial side.
You know, you heard me say this before, Maya. The fundamental thing about all businesses is that you need to have a business plan. Now, a business plan is not just there for the banks, it's also there for you. It also gives you the history and the story of your business. It also helps you to know what your strengths, your weaknesses, what's the threats of that's going to face your business going forward. It also helps you to then focus your energy to actually help grow your business going forward. So again, I would always say that entrepreneurs always tend to go over it from a very high level on a business plan. They don't take the next step into understanding the smaller detail that goes into your business plan. Let me give you an example. When you talk about a weakness in your business that, let's say, for instance, you only got one revenue stream coming in, we need to spend time workshopping and thinking about how do I build a second, third, or fourth revenue stream for your business. Or another weakness or a threat is that I've only got one supplier of my commodity, which I'm importing from China. Now, as you know, with COVID, you can't just import with the ports being closed. Again, are there anyone locally that you can source? It's those elements that you need to really take a step back and really think about on your downtime and actually start reinventing your business and keep evolving the business. Because things may go well for the first 2 to 3 years. What happens in year 4 and 5? If you start now, start changing, okay, in year 3 and 4, I'm going to expand the plant. I'm going to go start looking at new projects. Those elements really come to play, and it helps grow your business in the future. So again, focus on those, on the business and the needs and also your weaknesses. Second to that is your cash flow management. You would have seen it in Bella. It is, what is personal? That's my income that I'm drawing. And what is the business cash flow? Is really making sure that you understand when your money is coming in, how am I going to pay my creditors and so forth. Make sure you break it down into, not per month, down to the weekly basis. You know, when am I going to pay this person? Make sure I'm saving. So if you've got a payment that needs to be made on the 25th, have I got enough savings or enough money kept aside to make that payment for this month, the next month, and so forth? Or when is my debtor going to pay me my money that I have an expectation that I can save this for maybe a few days and meet my obligation? So cash flow management is everything in the business.
I know we did this with Tamsin last year. You also worked with our candidate Tamsin last year. So we actually built a salary fund for her. So because she got paid, she was in the film industry and she got kind of lump sums, erratic lump sums, was to build up a sort of 3-month salary fund within the business. So the business always knew that it had enough money to pay her for 3 months at a time. Have you looked at that at all with Bella? Is that something an entrepreneur should also look at, making sure there's money, like you said, for those expenses and hopefully build up a little bit of a buffer?
You know the famous saying, save, you know, you need to save for a rainy day. And all businesses need to have a savings plan, even in your personal capacity as well. You need to have maybe 3 months worth of salary or some sort of investment that if something goes completely wrong, like COVID. Yes, there's things that we can control and things that we can't control. But at the same time, there is a little bit of revenue on the side that can assist you through the storm. And it gives you time to actually think on what are the changes you need to implement, both in your personal life and in your business life, to actually grow your business and generate more income in the future. So savings are very, very important. As for Tamsin, it was more for to supplement her income. But over and above that, it's also to save for investments or expenses that you expect in the future.
And one of the things that also that I think Mapalo unfortunately couldn't join us because of load shedding. I mean, this technology, you know, Elton, we're living in a world of technology and we all think it's, oh, look, we've got technology. It's helping us get through COVID. But I tell you, then you add load shedding onto it. It's not so easy. But she actually had a question that she wanted to ask you, and it actually relates to me as well. And that is that both of us are personal service businesses. So, you know, where Bella, it's construction, so they're real projects with inputs and things like that. We're personal service businesses. And I think what we, and many people even have a little side hustle or whatever, often make this mistake of having just one bank account where we... you started and you're not sure, you know, it may just be begin as a side business. And you kind of, you know, at that point, you're just kind of not sure if you're even going to be able to make money out of this. You are, I know it took me 2 years of being a freelancer before I could really generate the kind of income I was as a salaried individual. And so a lot of these things, I suppose, you look at and you just think, I can't afford all these things. I'm not even sure. I can't even do a plan. I don't even know how I'm going to survive. But do you think it's just a good idea right from the beginning to have those separate bank accounts to, like, what would you give advice to somebody, even if it's just a side hustle they're starting, like, you know, just to start off with putting the right principles in place, even when they're not, don't perhaps have the additional money to bring in accountants and all the rest of it?
You know, it boils down to discipline. And a separate bank account is a great way to start. Have your business account, treat it like as a business account and investment. You know, yes, there are expenses that go through the account, but they are there to help you really understand. So when you look at the bank account itself, you're looking at it from the lens of, that's my business. This is how much of money came in. This is what I'm paying for it. It really gives you a different approach to running your business. So if you're asking for a second business account, I'm saying, yes, definitely have a business account to run it. Because from there, you can then start paying your salaries and paying your expenses from there. But again, when it comes to actually running a side hustle, now bearing in mind, you do have a full-time job. Now, what you need to remember is you need to focus on time management. So from 8 to 4:30, yes, I'm going to give it all to the organization that pays my monthly salary. You've also got time that you need to spend with your family. Please do not neglect the family. It is very, very important. So you can say, I'm going to set aside from 4:30 to 8 p.m. I'm going to spend quality time with the family and focus on them. Also at the same time, don't be afraid to share with your spouse and with your kids. This is what I'm doing as a side hustle. This is what I'm thinking about. These are the challenges. You'll be surprised on what great ideas comes out from just your immediate family. Because at the end of the day, they want to see you succeed. It's also in their best interest as well to see you grow your business and help you achieve what you're looking for. So make sure you have the time management allocation correct. And again, it boils down to discipline. Now, when you're building your business plan and as you start working with your business, it will start evolving. Spend time, again, on the business plan, making sure that you understand your business, what you're doing. But as you're getting ideas and thoughts and you're doing research, don't be afraid to change the direction. And also, when you make a mistake, you will make a mistake in business. Own the mistake and move on. Don't let that stop you, because sometimes that roadblock is just a way of channeling you in the right direction. Lots of businesses have obviously made those mistakes in the past, but do not spend time dwelling on that. Start looking at the solution and what you need to do. Again, when you go into your business account, watch the sense. For instance, if you are manufacturing, let's say, a widget, now the widget will cost you R1 to manufacture. You then have to also get a barcode, get a packaging, get a label, get everything else sorted out. Now, if you go out and you say, okay, I'm just going to go to the nearest store and I buy a package for R2, that's fine. I need to buy a label, that's another 50 cents. Okay, I need to go to the printer, that'll cost me another 70 cents per label. Now, already you're sitting at R2.20 already over and above your cost of manufacturing. So total cost, R3.20. Now, let's factor in that I need to produce 10,000 of those items. Then that's a lot of money. But if you went back and you start looking and says, no, hold on, if I just went down the road to another supplier, I can get, so paying R1 for the package, I can get it for 10 cents. Wow, I've saved 90 cents on a unit. 90 cents times 10,000, X amount I've started saving. So the point is, watch those cents, break it down into the unit cost. People may think you're a bit crazy at times, but when you start adding the volume into it, it makes perfect sense and it helps with your profit margins.
That's such good advice, Elton. I was actually thinking about Nono's business. So we've also spoken about Nono, I think, on this podcast. So she's got the side hustle. She's got the beauty product. And packaging's a big part of beauty product. In fact, what goes in is actually less expensive often than the packaging. And I hadn't thought about that, but you know, you think, oh, well, you know, 10 cents here or there, 10 cents times by 10,000 is a lot of money. So that's actually such good advice. And I think they're going down to that unit price and also making sure that it is worth your while. Again, putting out, I remember my sister actually was making some Christmas gifts. You know, she wanted to make these little, I can't remember, it was like some fruit mints and tied on very nicely. And she wanted to sell them as gifts so people could buy them. And by the time she worked it all out and then the time of doing it, she realized that it just wasn't worth the time. So that's the other aspect. I mean, we spoke about that with Bella as well, but I think also on these side hustles, people often make that mistake. They just don't do the actual cost and the actual time to work out that actually this thing's not making any money.
Sure. But it also goes back to what is the vision of the product, because you may not make money right now, but if you believe that that product is a wow idea and I can sell 1 million units of it, initial stages, short term, 6 months, yes, I'm not, but in month 7, 8, and 9, I could be making a lot more money. So again, it goes back in terms of what you're working towards and what you're projecting on the business. You know, one of the most expensive things people do as an entrepreneur is that I will go out there, go and buy myself an expensive system, maybe a new laptop, maybe a new Excel, you know, software package or whatever system that's out there. They'll go get technology because technology is something that businesses need. And you end up paying a lot more money for it. I mean, there are simpler ways of doing it, even if it goes back to basics on a book and a page, or even if you're using Apple. There is free software out there. Numbers, you know, it's the Excel equivalent. Yes, it'll take you time to adapt to it, but you know what? Once you start using it, it becomes second nature to you. So using new technology that doesn't cost you an arm and a leg, but use what you already have to start your business. Because the fact that you have an idea and a thought process, you can articulate it in whichever way you want it, but you can start building it out from there.
And actually, I wanted to add in that quickly, Elton. It's very interesting as well. We saw that with Catherine. I said to her, her invoicing was taking her forever. One of the great free invoicing products is Wave, wave.com. It's an amazing invoicing system for free. You only have to pay if you add payroll onto it. So for a side hustle or a small business or a self-service business like I have, it's a free package that works incredibly well. And the other one we were talking a little bit earlier about, having a business account. I think it's also important to realize you don't have to have a business account. You do if you're PTY limited, but if you're a sole proprietor, you also can just go and open up a second personal bank account and not have to pay all those business fees. So it's, again, you don't have to, you can start small. You can start as a sole proprietor with a free software invoicing system, keeping the bank fees low. And then obviously as the business grows and you now need to develop it, you can then do the whole PTY thing, bring in accountants, take out proper business banking and all the rest of it. So it can just be a journey in terms of those kind of costs.
True, Maya. I've even had a client that on an Excel spreadsheet, because Excel has templates, and all he did was he created an invoice template for himself and he started keeping it. And all he did was he PDF'd the document, which didn't cost him anything. But obviously based on the volume, the number of invoices that he has, you can invest in the system as soon as you're making money. But the initial stages are you're probably working on no money or on very limited budget that you've invested in the business. Try and find all the freebies that you can use to get it going in your business. And in your business, understand the value chain in terms of who are your suppliers, your creditors, your debtors. Make sure that you've also, because you need to, from your suppliers, you need to issue them a purchase order as well. So again, do it on Excel spreadsheet, do it on numbers, and you can start sending out documents down there. So there are cheaper ways of getting around these small little items.
So I think that's been some great advice, Elton. And I think if I had to kind of highlight it is, and certainly looking at Bella, well, I mean, Bella, Nono, and Catherine have really been the ones we focused on in this competition around these ideas. But it is, for me, 101, separate that personal and business finance. I mean, that was absolutely killing Bella. What we also found with Nono and Catherine is because they've separated it, that even the side hustle, they've said, well, the income that they're making from their side hustle is earmarked for savings or for paying off debt or for something. So even if you've got a side hustle, know what that money is there for. It's not just there for groceries. You're actually working on that to perhaps fund something else. So keep the personal finance separate from the business finance and watch those rands and cents. And I think, Elton, really it's about also understanding the costs and the profit margins, because I mean, that's probably what really made a big difference for Bella as well.
Sure, Maya. No, definitely. And don't give up. I mean, it's one of those things. Reinvent yourself. Yes, we are facing an epidemic right now. But there are also new opportunities out there if you're looking at it. I've also chatting to an engineering company that was very much into manufacturing of equipment for road. And, there were small little pieces of plastic and things he was doing. He's actually moved across now into manufacturing PPE. So technology and items, you've got it there. You've got the basics. It's just, how do I generate new revenue given that the world has changed?
Well, like Nonna was able to take her beauty products. Suddenly she was making hand sanitizers. I think everybody who was in that kind of industry. And I must just tell you, just to end off my story about my neighbor. She lives a couple of roads up from us. And at the beginning of lockdown, she loves baking. Her husband and her had a knock to their income. She loves baking. She sent out a WhatsApp to our neighborhood and said, who would like freshly made bread? Because remember, we can't leave home. We don't want to leave home. So we said, yes. She got her essential business license, and she delivered bread to us. Do you know, from that start at the beginning of April, she's now turning over 20,000 rand a month just on word of mouth. So if you do a good product and you get word of mouth even out there, you know, who knows where it can go.
And Maya, one other thing just to remember, when you're generating revenue, do not forget SARS. You will have to keep a little bit of money aside for them.
Okay, you know what, Elton, I feel like we're going to have this conversation now, because we clean forgot about SARS. So the most critical thing, and I know this because I've had my own business now for 15 years, is that you need to know that the first, whatever percent it is, 20, 30, 40% of your income is not yours. Okay, it belongs to SARS. And it's the first thing you do. And so I actually have a separate bank account it's a savings account attached to my business account that is purely for tax. And as my income comes in, I put that percentage across. I'm incorporated, so I put 28%. It goes straight away across into that immediately. The first 28% goes into there. And then, of course, VAT. I'm also VAT registered. 15%, you know, that VAT amount doesn't belong to you. Do you know how many people forget that VAT doesn't belong to them? They're purely handing it from one person to SARS. You're purely a conduit for the money. It doesn't belong to you. So absolutely vital. And Elton, that without a doubt kills many, many small businesses, or especially sole proprietors. I see it all the time in the freelance industry. It is a big problem. People clean forget about SARS. Then they get they do their tax return, and they often have to take a loan, or they use their credit cards or something to access the money to pay tax. So definitely, without a doubt, tax is probably your biggest priority.
Sure. I mean, you work hard to grow your business, and you also, and like me, I like to sleep well. So keep the money aside and enjoy your sleep.
But thank you, Elton. That was very great input. And again, listeners, we have been follow Bella's story and Elton's input into her story. If you have any questions for us, post them on the comments. So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959. And we look forward to hearing from you,
because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring the contributors of the City Press Personal Finance Pages.